and we'll read all six verses. The psalmist says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Blessed, or behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Jerusalem." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your blessings upon us. Lord, we're thankful that you've given us a way that we can pursue happiness in the right way, and it will turn out right, Father. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to learn something from you here this evening. I pray that we'd have open minds and open hearts to receive your word. Lord, you know the hearts of every person here. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to them. Open up hearts, open up eyes and ears. Lord, help us to receive your word. Lord, help us to be better and stronger for it. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord." Then he says in verse number 2, "Happy shalt thou be." Says again in verse number 4, he says, "Blessed is he that fears the Lord." Again in verse number 5, he says that the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. The last verse in chapter 127 says, "Happy is the man that has a quiver full of them," talking about children. So when he says blessed and happy, those are two of the same, two one in the same there. You have the first word of this book, Psalms. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That's happy. You'd be happy. And we're talking about pursuing happiness here this evening. It says in the introduction to the Declaration of Independence, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Our founding fathers, the one who wrote the Declaration of Independence, says that we have the right to pursue happiness. And that meant a lot different than what it means today. When they wrote that in 1776, they were talking about getting out from under the dominion and oppression of the British government. And they said, "Hey, we don't want to be under that tyrannical rule anymore. And we want to have the right to pursue happiness in our own way. We want the freedom of religion to worship God in our own way. They don't want to be under that state church anymore." That's what they were talking about in 1776. But that idea and that statement has been hijacked by people in our society today, and it means a whole lot different than it did back in 1776. And hijacked by secularists and ungodly people, and they now believe that pursuit of happiness means materialism. It means ease and comfort. It means the good life. It means entertainment and wealth. It means anything that you can get your hands on. That's the pursuit of happiness. And so, in other words, we can achieve happiness by getting things, by owning things. You know, the more that we get, the better we're going to feel, the better we're going to be, and the happier that you'll be. Well, you can get the better car, you can get the better job, you can get more money, you get a fatter bank account, you get the better wife, you get the better husband, more relaxation, vacation. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but those things do not bring true happiness. I mean, history will bear that out, that materialism does not bring happiness. Today in our society, we have more choices than ever. I mean, go to the grocery store and look at what kind of different things they have on the shelves. You go crazy sitting there looking at all the different things, trying to figure out which kind of ketchup do I want, what kind of mustard and all this kind of stuff. You got all these kind of choices. And so what that leads to is higher expectations. You always want something better now because we have so many other choices in society. And when you have high expectations, that sets you up for big disappointments because you're not always going to be able to afford the things that you want. The grass is always going to look greener on the other side. And so enough becomes a movable target. Nothing is ever enough. We always want the next big thing, and so we sacrifice ourselves, we sacrifice our health, we sacrifice our time. Why? To find happiness. And we think it isn't something else, something material that we can get a hold of. And we've been programmed by society to expect everything right now. You have to have it now. We have instant gratification, instant information, instant, hey, you can't afford it, just go put it on the credit card and get it. Go into debt, go to the bank, get the money. You don't save up, get it now, right now. We want all of those things right now. And so what has that created here in the United States of America? Has it created more happiness? Has it created more satisfaction within us? Has it created more freedom? Has it created any of that? I don't think that it has. Now we are enslaved to things. Now we're enslaved to things, and we're enslaved to the opinions of other people. We're enslaved to the people across the street that have the nicer car, the nicer house. Get on their Facebook. Man, they look so beautiful. Their life is wonderful. And man, I want that. But you don't know and you don't realize that behind that smiling face is probably something that you don't want. Yeah. And they're looking at your Facebook and they're thinking, man, I wish I had what they had. Well, it looks so good and so great. The grass is always greener on the other side. So we're pursuing happiness, but we've thrown the Bible out a long time ago. We've left it a long time ago. We're following the American dream. We have the American dream Christianity. We don't follow the Bible anymore. Material things do not bring happiness. As a matter of fact, we are insatiable. The more that you look at things, the more that you want things. The Bible says that hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. We're always wanting to see something else. We're always wanting something else. But those things don't bring happiness. You know what brings true happiness and contentment? Spiritual things in life. That's what brings happiness in life. Peace, integrity, joy, righteousness, character, a right relationship and standing with your God. That's what brings true happiness and joy. But yet everyone thinks, if I can get the power, if I can get the prestige, if I can get all of those things, well then I will get true happiness. You won't. You'll get to the end of that and there's not a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. It's not there. If we get the spiritual thing right first, then the material things will come in line and we will have a right view of those things. The right view of material things is that they are a blessing from God, not a means to an end. That's not what material things are. And when you have a right relationship with God, those things will mean the right things to you. Those material things that we have are meant for us to use to glorify our God and our Creator. That's what they're there for. For of Him and to Him and through Him are all things. That's why we have those material things. But yet, we have the cart before the horse. We're thinking backwards in our society today. We're pursuing happiness in the American way and not in God's way. And we have to get those things right. They have to be in the right order. So what does blessing look like? How do we pursue happiness in God's way? I want to give you two actions and two blessings that come by pursuing happiness in God's way. Number one, it's fear. To fear the Lord. Number two is faithfulness. And then we have two blessings, which would be fruitfulness and flourishing. So how do you and I pursue happiness in God's way, God's prescription, the way that He wants us to do it? Number one, we must fear the Lord. He says in verse number one, blessed or happy is everyone that feareth the Lord. Well, you wouldn't think that. You wouldn't think that fearing God would bring happiness or blessing in your life, but the Bible says that we would be blessed if we would fear God. The very first thing, and we've studied in depth in Sunday school about fearing God. We've heard all about those things, but the very first thing, if you want to have knowledge, ladies and gentlemen, and children, young people, if you want to have knowledge, the first thing that you need to do before anything is fear God. That's the first thing. If you want to have wisdom in your life, wisdom is the fear of God. That's what it is. A lot of people think, man, that guy is so smart. That guy has, man, he's got PhDs and all those accolades sitting on his desk and hanging up in his office. Man, that guy is so smart, and he doesn't fear God. And he's not smart. He doesn't have wisdom. The very first principal thing that you must have if you're going to be smart and blessed by God is you must fear the Lord. It says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't know anything until you start fearing God. Again, Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You and I must have a right relationship with our Creator before we get that schooling at college or at school. That's the first thing we must learn. I'd like to give you a definition. This is my definition of the fear of the Lord. And there are many definitions. There are many characteristics to fearing the Lord. My definition is the fear of the Lord is to be afraid to disobey God, to be afraid to disregard His word because of what the punishment is for transgressing God and be going beyond His set boundaries. Are you afraid to sin against God here this evening? Or does it bother you to go beyond what God has set in place? Because you are messing with something that you know not what, and I know not what. We have a power that created the universe, and we're not afraid to go beyond that and transgress His law. What would you think about somebody that stepped out in front of a freight train, speeding at them that couldn't stop? Boy, he's not afraid to risk his life. He's not afraid to risk everything that he has in his life, his marriage, his kids, and his entire life, and step out in front of a speeding train. What would you think about that? You think, yeah, you're dumb. You're a fool. The Bible says in Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's foolish. Because there is a God, and we will all have to give an account one of these days to Him. And we don't begin to pursue happiness one iota, not one inch, until you start fearing the Lord. You're not going to find happiness at the bar. You're not going to find happiness in drugs. You're not going to find happiness in fornication. You're not going to find happiness at the far country if you don't fear God. You're not going to find happiness there. Everyone thinks so, though. And people do it over and over and over. They make the same mistakes over and over again. Oh, I wonder if I'll get happiness this time. I wonder if I'll get happiness this time. Nope, nope, nope. Not there. Not there. It's only by fearing the Lord. You're a fool if you do not fear the Lord. Paul describes the state. This is the state of every unregenerate person in Romans chapter 3. He says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. The way of peace have they not known. That's the opposite of happiness. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't care. They're not scared of God. They're not scared. A lot of people ain't even scared of dying and going to meet their Creator. Well, boy, will they be in a shock. Boy, will they be in a tizzy whenever they get past the other side and they find out that, yes, there is a hell, and yes, that there is a God that they will have to stand before. There is someone who created them. Dad brought this verse up earlier in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. He says, don't fear those who can kill the body. You better fear those who can kill both soul and body in hell. They take everything that you are and everything that you hope to be. At least for a Christian after this life, we have our soul that God has redeemed, and we will go and see Him one of these days. If you don't have the fear of God, you are not in pursuit of happiness. You might be deceived into thinking that you are in the pursuit of happiness, but you are not. Not at all. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 22 that the prudent man foresees evil and hideth himself. He doesn't go out there and stand in the middle of traffic and start playing around in traffic. No, he gets out of the way. But the simple pass on and are punished. Those who do not have any wisdom, they have no knowledge. If you and I want to pursue happiness in God's perspective, in God's way, we must fear God. The next quality we see is that of faithfulness. We must be faithful to God. He says in verse number 1, Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. You must be faithful to the Lord. Now, you wouldn't think that faithfulness would bring happiness, but it does. Boy, most of us want to be couch potatoes and sit on the couch and watch TV and veg out with potato chips. And boy, this is the life. But what happens whenever you start having health problems because you didn't get up and work? I follow a Navy SEAL, and he's got a lot of good principles. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. His name is Jocko Willink. He's a Navy SEAL. He's got a book out called Discipline is Freedom. And he tells you the way to get freedom in your life is get up out of bed and get to work. Get things done. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God. This is actually the parallel thing, the idea that we just read here about fearing the Lord. If someone fears God, they're going to be faithful to God. Someone who says, hey, I fear God, and then don't obey His word or not faithful to God, they are very sorely disillusioned. We must fear the Lord and be faithful to Him if we are pursuing righteousness and happiness in God's perspective. Amen. And it's very hard to find a faithful man sometimes, is it not? But have you committed your life to God? Is that something that, are you committed to being faithful to God, obeying His word, keeping His testimonies? Read the story about the prodigal son in Luke chapter number 15, and he was disillusioned. He thought, man, I know where the good times are at. I know where the happiness is at. Boy, you know what I want? I've got an inheritance coming to me. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask my dad. I'm going to tell my dad I need that inheritance. And I'm going to go down to the far country, and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Going to get drunk and just live it up and, you know, just get full of debauchery and just do whatever I want to do. He thought, boy, that's where the freedom's at, and that's where the happiness is at, because I've seen the bright lights and I've watched the things on the internet and television, and well, it looks pretty good. They've been making it look good on the commercials. So that's where I'm going. That's where the happiness is at. He got down to the far country, had lots of friends and family, or not family, but friends there, had lots of money. Boy, he spent up all his money, though, on drinking and partying and all that, and then he found himself in the hog pen. You know, he got to thinking, he thought, man, you know what? I had it pretty good at Dad's house. You know what? All the things that I've been looking for, the happiness that I so crave and the liberty and the freedom that I so crave, I know where it's at. It's not over here in the far country. It's not over here in the party town. It's back there in Father's house. Boy, I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk to the Father. I'm going to ask Him if I can come back and just be one of His hired servants. I want to work now. Before then, He didn't want to work. Just wanted to go party. But then He found the freedom that He was looking for. Boy, He got back to the Father's house. He found the freedom. He found the clothes that He was looking for. He found the meal that He was craving. He found the love that He so desired by just going back to the Father's house. Did you know that you and I here today, we can find the freedom that we so desire. We can find the love that we so desire and that we so need and crave, that you've been looking for, by going to the Father's house, by going to God and just being faithful to Him. Yeah, it doesn't look very fun, though. Yeah, but that's where the freedom's at. That's where you pursue happiness at. Multitudes of people tried it. There's multitudes and multitudes of sad stories of people who tried to fulfill their dreams, and they didn't find it out in that kind of place. It's by serving the Lord. It's by being faithful to Him. Hey, you don't have to go out. You don't have to go out and be a rebel and make all kinds of mistakes and do all kinds of ridiculous things and then say, yeah, they're right. They were right. Preacher was right. Bible was right. Yep, that's right. Don't be a fool like me. I did that. Thought that's where it'd be at. It's not where it's at. Serving the Lord is where it's at. You don't have to go out and make a bunch of mistakes. Just serve God. Be faithful all of your life. Be faithful. Just stay faithful. That was the first temptation that Satan ever gave to Eve. Satan gave Eve the temptation to say, hey, you can be your own boss. You don't have to listen to God. You can do what you want to do. You'll be as gods, he said, knowing good and evil. You can get everything that you're looking for by being a rebel against God and not listening to Him. You can eat that fruit if you want to. That's where you'll find the freedom and the happiness. And she did it. And she didn't find the happiness and the freedom that she was looking for, did she? No, she found destruction and misery and pain and death. That's what she found. Did you know that God's way of pursuing happiness is the right way? Just be faithful to Him. Walk in the ways of the Lord. The next thing that we find here is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. It says in verse number 2 and 3, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee, and thy wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table." In the pursuit of happiness, you know what we find? A blessing of fruitfulness. He says, God is going to bless the labor of your hands. He's going to bless the work that you do. Now, most people think of work as some kind of curse that they have to go out and do. And in some ways, it might be. I don't know what you do for a living. But did you know that that work is a blessing from God?
Amen.
It's a blessing. The first thing that God did for Adam whenever He put him in the Garden of Eden, He said, "Adam, I got some work for you to do. I want you to go out and I want you to dress the Garden of Eden and keep it. I got a job for you to do." Did you know that work is a blessing for us? Did you know if you don't work, you'll just die earlier? Did you know if you don't clean your house, do you know what will happen? You will die because you didn't work. Blessing from God is work. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're the postman. Doesn't matter if you're the janitor. Doesn't matter if you're cleaning toilets. It doesn't matter if you're vacuuming the carpet or if you're the president of the United States. If it's legal work, it's a blessing from the Lord.
Amen.
And God says pursuit of happiness is fruitfulness in your work. He's given that to us as a blessing and a benefit. If you get to go to work in the morning and I get to go to work in the morning, count that a blessing from God and a benefit from God.
Amen.
He says not only that, your wife will be fruitful. Are you glad to have children here this evening?
Amen.
Did you know that God gave you those children?
Right.
Your wife will be fruitful. He's given you those. Boy, wise, the Bible says a prudent wife is from the Lord. If you've got a wife here today or you've even got a husband here today, that's a blessing from the Lord. And if you have kids, God bless you.
Amen.
It's a blessing from God. Your wife is there and she enriches and she fulfills your life. God looked at Adam and He says, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him." He needs someone there to help him.
Amen.
And if I understand that sometimes God has called men not to get married. I'm not saying that. But by and large, a wife enriches the life of a husband.
Amen.
If it was not for my wife, I would have an empty life. I would not know what to do. I would be lost if I did not have my wife. She enriches my life and I enrich her life.
Amen.
So it's a blessing. Marriage is a blessing from God. You know, this, I won't say those things. But your wife, she gives you children. She enriches your life. She gives you so many things. He says that your children will be fruitful. He talks about that these children that are talked about are like little plants. They're little olive plants that grow up around an olive vine. And they're growing up around... Oh, excuse me. To just settle down. Those children that he's talking about there are growing up around the table. You know what that shows us? That shows us that they are growing, that they are flourishing, that they are maturing. Some of my best memories are sitting around the table. I have a lot of good memories of sitting around the table. If you have a family, boy, have a meal together at the house. It's a blessing. You're going to have good memories. I remember one time they were having a slideshow. We lived over in Albuquerque. They were having a slideshow at a church over there. And they were going to use our family for an example. So they sent a photographer over there because we always prayed around the table holding hands before each meal. And they used that as an example at our church. And they showed that up on the slide projector. Some of my best memories are eating there at the table. That's where your children grow and they flourish. You talk about things and it's just a time of fellowship with a family. And he says, the pursuit of happiness, hey man, that's having a family. That's having kids, that's eating, that's having a wife, That's having a job. That's all those things. It's just everyday mundane life that we don't even think about. But yet God has blessed us. That's the pursuit of happiness right there. Maybe you don't have $1 million in the bank. Maybe you don't have a mansion. Maybe you're not driving a Maserati or some great car like that. But hey, you've got God. You've got a family. That's the pursuit of happiness right there. The last thing we find there is flourishing in verse number 5 and 6. He says, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Jerusalem." He says, God's going to give you a divine blessing, and you're going to flourish not only to your immediate family, but you're going to flourish out to your children's children. You're going to see the good of your city and the good of your nation. Now that's flourishing, brother. Pursuit of happiness. God is going to flourish your family and your influence in life. I don't know about you, but I want to have a bigger impact than just me. I want to have an influence on my family and on generations to come. I want to have an influence on the people that I work with, a good godly influence. I want to have an influence on everyone here in this room. And by the way, all of us do. All of us have some kind of influence. It might be positive or it might be negative, but we all have an influence on other people. What kind of impact are we making? In our town in Portales, New Mexico, in the state, in the country that we live, what kind of impact are we making? The psalmist says, hey, you're going to see your children and your grandchildren are going to flourish. Earlier this summer, I planted some potato vines over there at Heartland where I work. I didn't know anything about potato vines. But potato vines are these little bitty plants, and I planted about 6 of them on each side of our sign there at Heartland. Planted them there, knew nothing about them. They grew for a little while, didn't really pay any attention to them. Here about 2 months ago, I looked out there, and you ought to see those plants now. Those things are huge. They have grown out of the planter, over the sides of the planter, and onto the rocks, and they're headed towards the concrete sidewalk. They got leaves on them about this big around. Huge. You talk about a flourishing plant. That's a flourishing plant. Same way that our lives ought to be. Our scope of influence should not stay right there where we're at. We should go beyond just our own lives and just our own families. Amen. Should go beyond us. I want to have that kind of influence. And like I said, you can have a positive influence or a negative influence. Think about Karl Marx, and he was greatly impacted negatively by his father's influence. He grew up in a Jewish home, and the life was centered around the Jewish synagogue. And his father was some kind of businessman or something like that, and they moved to a different town, and there was not a Jewish synagogue within that town. So they decided, well, they're going to go to the Lutheran church. So they went to the Lutheran church. And Karl Marx saw his dad cave in what he believed. And boy, he thought about that, and it impacted him negatively. And when he grew up, he went to college, and he became an atheist, and he founded communism. Boy, you want to talk about an influence on people. Millions of people have died because of communism. Amen. Boy, we want to have a positive influence on people that we're around. We want our influence to go forth. It says in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 7, it says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Hey, we are not a city within our own self. We influence everyone around us. I don't care who it is. If it's the checker out at the supermarket, if it's a brother or sister in Christ, if it's your wife, if it's your husband, if it's your children, we are all in this together, and we will make an impact in some way. I want to flourish. The pursuit of happiness includes flourishing. God blessing us. Are you concerned for others to be blessed as well? I want to give you some final thoughts. We're all searching for happiness in some way. We've just examined 4 characteristics of the pursuit of happiness, and we do it God's way. If you're not pursuing happiness in God's way, I'd implore you this evening to change your mind, yes, to go the other way, to pursue happiness in God's way. If you're looking for happiness and relaxation in a new this or a new that, more money, something like that. Don't look to those things. They're not going to bring you any kind of happiness. They might bring you some temporary happiness, yes, but then they're going to get old and then you're going to want something else and you're not going to be satisfied. What I'd implore you to do is to look to Jesus Christ to find your fulfillment in Christ alone. It says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 10, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. For a Christian, we find our completeness. We find our satisfaction in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. We look at the cross and we see a reason to fear the Lord. Because God Almighty, God the Father, poured out His wrath upon His Son, Jesus Christ. He poured out the punishment of sins upon Jesus Christ. And we look at that cross and we see what God did at the cross. And that ought to drive us to fear God. A God that would do something like that hates sin. Amen. You can guarantee it. It's not that He has kind of a strong dislike to it or, you know, He's kind of wobbling on the fence about something that's unrighteous. No, He hates it. He hates it. So we ought to fear the Lord when we look at the cross. We ought to look at the cross and see the faithfulness of God to undeserving sinners. Amen. We look at God and how that He put His Son upon the cross. And we can find forgiveness and we can find redemption upon the cross and how God is faithful through the cross, even in the midst of my failures. God is still faithful. I look to that sacrifice. We look to that sacrifice and we say, man, God is faithful. We look to that. And then I can in turn be faithful and I can lean upon God to help me to be faithful. We have help from the Lord to be faithful. So we look to the cross. And then finally, we look to the cross and we find fruitfulness. That's where we find it at. It was the rock that was smitten upon the cross and the blood and the water flowed and the Holy Spirit comes from that sacrifice. And now we can be fruitful. Brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. Everything that you're looking for and that I'm looking for, integrity, faithfulness, honesty, all of those things come through Jesus Christ. And we can have a right relationship with the Lord, with God. And then the things that are around us, we see those in the right perspective. Oh yes, those are things that are blessings from the Lord. They're not here for my entertainment. They're not here to try and make me happy. I find my happiness in my Creator. It's through Jesus Christ. But everyone has it backwards. They're looking for the next $1 million that they can make. And then they're still not going to be happy. Be a Christian. Go to the cross. Find the relationship with your Creator, Jesus Christ. That's the true pursuit of happiness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, we're thankful that You've given us a pattern to follow, Father. I pray, God, that You'd help us not to get caught up in the consumerism of our age, Lord. Help us not to fall into that trap, Father. Pray that You'd help us to look to You, to look to Your Son, Jesus Christ. You said in Your word, look unto the Lord all the ends of the earth and be ye saved. Father, help us to look to You. Thank You, God, for Your blessings upon us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.